I'm Ryan Betson.
And I'm Paul James.
And this is More The Players, the pop culture's PlayStation podcast extra, where we deep dive into a specific game or topic or conversation. But today, it's a game. It's Tribreaker, a Sacred Symbol Odyssey. So, of course, big thank you to the publishing team for providing both Paul and I a copy of the title. Now, Paul, as you are noticeably more eloquent than myself, give us a rundown. Where, what, where, how is Tribreaker a Sacred Symbol
eloquent
Odyssey?
Eloquent. Breaking bricks and shit, right?
Yeah, thanks. That's exactly
sorry, I just got to throw eloquent out the window. I mean, at its core, really, it is a brick breaker. And, you know, for some, they're going to really love the opportunity to kind of go back and explore that kind of, I guess, long forgotten kind of genre. I mean, we don't see too many of them. We certainly don't see many overly prominent games in that brick breaker genre these days, outside of Twin Breaker a couple of years ago. 2020, that was. It's been a while now.
Yeah.
I was shocked, actually, when I was putting together everything for the written review on the website and realized it was 2020 that we played that game. It's been 4 years. But look, it's a brick breaker at its core, but what Barry and the team have done is pretty awesome, in the sense that, like, at its core, brick breaker, but then you've got, like, you're playing games of Snake in the whole thing. Mm-hmm. There's you know some shooting elements, in you know, a whole bunch of other kind of subgenres all kind of trickling in along the way there, and it's a pretty cool mix in terms of changing up the pace. I think that was one bit of feedback they were given, as you know, it kind of felt a bit samey. And I guess to address that specific concern, they paced the game really well. They changed up when they needed to. It's a great product.
Yeah. Look, I'm in a similar boat, but before we dive into, like, the game itself, I feel it is important for us to both stress that we do have quite a strong biases with this product, in that both you and I are avid long-term listeners of Colin Moriarty and Sacred Symbols, and then by connection, Chris Raygun, Dustin Furman, all starring roles in this title. It's not that, like, it's going to change anything. It's just important to remember, as I'm sitting here wearing, you know, a very old Vita Island shirt.
Wearing a maroon shirt.
I couldn't buy any Sacred shirts. They're all sold out at the moment. I'm real bummed out about it. But I think it's important to mention. But yeah, this is from Lilimo, which is the team that Colin is a part owner in. The lead developer is Barry, as you name dropped earlier.
Yep.
This is the sequel to, as we mentioned, to Twin Breaker, a Sacred Symbols story. I think it's just the
adventure. That was just adventure, that one.
Yeah. So I did buy this a number of years ago. Tinkered with it a little bit then. But it wasn't until leading into this game where I properly sat down with it. So my partner, who has had to come to terms with my affection and my, like, appreciation towards Sacred Symbols. So when the opportunity came and I was like, hey, I may have access to it, to the sequel. Do you want to play the first one with me? And she goes, sure, why not? So we play Twin Breaker together. It is multiplayer, so we had a lot of fun. And then when the code came through for this, I was like, hey. She's like, let's go. No multiplayer. So she was a bit bummed. However, to her credit, she was still very invested in it, knowing the individuals, that, you know, the characters within it and what it was setting up, and still able to have a good bit of fun.
Really, you ultimately just had to tell her to stand down when the time came.
I absolutely did. She's all excited. I'm like, stand down.
Yeah, look, I never had the multiplayer experience with Twin Breaker in the first place, so I didn't necessarily have that perspective, I guess, that you have, which is a good and, like, handy one, because you actually flagged it when we were discussing the game whilst we were still in the midst of playing the game, and you said, oh, no multiplayer. I'm like, I was, like, scraping the recesses of my mind. Like, was there multiplayer in Twin Breaker?
Yeah.
Was not firing with me whatsoever. But at the same time, I guess it would have been, especially because you've now got three different elements that you're controlling in most levels, not all, but in most levels, that would have started to get a bit unwieldy, either, again, just playing in twos, because one person has to control the raging penis that is Dustin as he flies around the screen.
So to elaborate for those of you listening and watching at home, with the original game, it was a standard brick breaker, but it did add extra elements of difficulty in that you would have to control each of the paddles separately in multiple directions, sometimes, you know, four at a time were in play. So when
that
was nuts. The idea of doing that by myself, crazy. I don't know. It's insane. So moving into this one with the inclusion of Dustin as the third, you know, being the big D to greetings and salutations, the two other ships. As you can control the bouncer, the ball, for the brick breaking in this, if you were to put a multiplayer, it would be very difficult. Because even when you get a multi-ball and suddenly you've got two that you can control, and you're trying to control one and it's going the other direction, it's bonkers. But
It can be challenging. And you obviously mentioned, the four paddles, for example, in Twin Breaker, which was clearly for both of us, it was a bit of a brain-breaking scenario.
And I had a secondary person to make it easier.
And I didn't. I felt like I was about to fall apart at the seams. But in the case of Tri-Breaker, you've got, like, everything is just for that one player. You've got the left stick controlling one. You've got the right stick controlling the other in terms of Chris and Colin. But then you've got Dustin, who you'll kind of, as you said, he's the bouncer. You kind of fire him out at the beginning and then, you know, ricochet left, right, and center. But you're using the, if we're talking about the PlayStation controls, but, you know, I guess transfer to Xbox.
Would we play on anything else, Paul? Would we?
Exactly. You can't play a Sacred Symbols game on anything other than, but I'm sure there'll be people that buy it. Rookies. you're using the bump. I mean, I'm sitting here with an Xbox controller in front of me for some reason.
I'm standing in front of all this crap.
There's some PlayStation. Oh, there it is. Like you're using the R1 and L1 bumpers to kind of guide him around, which in a different way to Twin Breaker, I also kind of broke me when you've, and for the sake of this, we'll assume that you're kind of shooting up, but there are segments where everything kind of becomes very horizontal as well. When you're shooting Dustin, you know, up towards the top of the screen, the left, you know, using L1 will drag him to the left of the screen, R1 will drag him to the right of the screen. But then when he's ricocheting, he's bouncing back towards you again, that all inverts.
Yeah, very similar to that of like an old school PlayStation 1 game or something like Crash Bandicoot, right? When you're doing those like boulder runs and then you're having to dart left and you've got to try to psych your brain out. You want to go that way instead of that way. It takes a bit of practice, but once you crack it, you're okay.
Despite finishing the 40 levels and getting... And so I played this on the PS4 in full, and I've been kind of chipping away at the PS5 version because there's a big difficulty in jump in terms of the trophies and some of the requirements you got to do there to even get remotely close to sniffing the platinum. Even after those 40 levels and having jumped into some like the PS5 version and replayed lots of it, I am still struggling to this day to get my wires right in my head to transfer where as soon as you ricochet the other direction, let alone when everything goes horizontal. And now I'm going, okay, so that way, and then if I press L1, I'm gonna hook it. Like it's broken me in that regard,
but I thoroughly enjoy it.
I'll get though. There and that's the thing, I'm really really enjoying it. It's frustrating when I go, oh shit, hang on, I want to go right and I just went left because I pressed the wrong bumper. And look, maybe there could have been some tweaks to that element of it to kind of at least get it consistent. We've had games of multiple different genres over the years that have managed to kind of, you know, despite the fact that your camera has rotated a different direction, if you continue holding the stick in the direction you were before the camera rotated, it will remain consistent. It will drag you kind of, I guess, along with the camera. There might have been some sort of equivalent thing that could have been implemented here that would have made that a bit easier. But at the same time, they don't mind trading in difficulty with Twin Breaker and now Tri-Breaker. So
I was going to say, I think with the intensity at which it moves around and the frequency at which it moves around, in order to have that constantly readjust to the direction at which you can move, I think would have actually made it more confusing.
Made it harder.
Because, you mentioned, like, you know, there'd be consistent. Like, it is consistent. L1 is always moving at left. It just left varies depending on which direction that it's
bouncing. Which direction it's headed, yeah.
So, like, I think in terms of that, I you can adapt to it once you understand where you're going. But as you mentioned at the beginning of this, the one thing you have to adapt to is the constant change in theme and level design. And in what I was explaining it to my partner, and like the game, Tri-Breaker delivers this feeling of nostalgia for a genre and a time frame of games that I never experienced. And I say that because as someone who's born in like 89, like, you know, my core gaming memories are PlayStation 1. Some Super Nintendo in there as well, but we're not going back to like the Atari or even some of these arcade games that's clearly being used as reference and inspiration here, whether it be Frogger or Asteroids or what else are they? It was kind of a, I think from
memory. Oh, yeah, I forgot the Frogger levels. Holy shit. Yeah. I forgot the Frogger levels.
You know, like there's a bunch of odes to older games that I really, really enjoyed. And I did spend a big hunk of my time reviewing this game in my car while my son was at a birthday party for one of his friends playing.
He's on the portal, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so I was using my phone as a thing, pinging it back to my house. And it's an enjoyable experience that way. But as I'm sitting there playing it in my car and then it starts switching genres, I'm like, oh my God, it's suddenly Pac-Man. This is incredible. And then it's Pong. I'm like, oh my God, this is Pong. Yeah, just because I was curious. I'm like, well, what could you do in a sequel to a brick breaker game when you've kind of maxed out what you could do? And I know from listening to the show, there has been some discussions around they wanted to sort of compact the story a little bit, and they, with the joke of the original being such a very story heavy driven brick breaker game, they just chose to scale that back a little bit here, but then they bolstered it with an awesome new art design, which I really, really appreciate and I really quite liked as well, a banging soundtrack, and then of course finding those new little gameplay tweaks and changes to give it a bit more depth, and having it feel like objectively different to the first.
Yeah, I mean, look, honing in on the story part of it, I remember hearing that as well. That okay, we're gonna scale this a bit differently, and maybe make it a bit more compact, a bit smaller, a bit more digestible, and less of a focus. Based on some feedback they received before, I didn't feel like that's what we actually got in the end. And I'm totally okay with that, actually. Like, I wasn't one of the ones that thought, oh, yeah, you're kind of putting too much story in my brick breaker. Like, get that shit out of here. I wasn't part of that.
I didn't wish with it at all.
Group. I was fine with it. Now, I do think, and this goes back to that initial disclosure that you made, there is the thing for us where if a story beat isn't hitting, we've got a reference to, you know, Stand Down, or we've got, you know, there's multiple different references throughout the game that we can draw upon.
When we're reading it, we're hearing it in their voice because we know their voices. So we're adding a lot of character and a lot of like sprinkle to it that may not be present to someone that doesn't know who they are.
So there is absolutely that context, and that's your disclosure before is particularly important in that sort of context. But that said, separating those referential bits, I quite liked the story that Colin had cooked up with the last game and kind of how it's been expanded upon here. Of course, they're kind of leveraging, okay, well, they're kicking back and doing nothing with their lives, and Dustin rolls in and changes everything up exactly as he did when he became the third chair on the show.
Yep.
But and so there are those moments that if you understand some of the context to the real life stuff, the narrative that is
just knowing the ships are named after the opening that Colin said.
Yeah, the way Colin will always like. There's that sort of backdrop to it, but if you just hone in on the story that he's created about colony ships and how that's worked, and you know, we kind of add this time thing, it's pretty entertaining. Mm. So, I've got no dramas with that. It'll be interesting to see how others respond to it, and we'll inevitably hear Colin, Barry. They've always been very forthright with some of the feedback that they've received, and kind of, you know, picking it apart publicly. So I'm kind of keen to hear what they've got to say about some of that feedback. But I love that part of it. And then I did love, and you know, going back to kind of the changing of the pace and the way I would kind of flip the formula. And yeah, you mentioned Frogger, you mentioned Pong, you've mentioned Pac-Man. And even within the core formula of using the paddles to play the game, there is that horizontal perspective. You'll get some levels where it's just one paddle, it's just Colin, it's just Chris, or it's just the two of them, but no Dustin. Or just Dustin, like, he's flying through. Like,
threw me to like the old Super Star Wars, like, you know, speedrunner when you're in the Luke's Land Cruiser as your Dustin skimming across the, you know.
Yeah. Like they changed it up regularly. And I really appreciated that because there's probably only, and they explored a lot of really cool possibilities with the last game. And I think if they committed to, okay, we're going to stick to this formula and we're just going to go further. Mm. I think they would have run out of road pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Based on my very limited game design skill sets, non-existent game design skill set.
Yeah. We just play and talk about it.
We just play and talk about it. I interview a few people on Dev Diary and think I know shit about game making, but I don't. So, yeah, based on my very limited knowledge, I feel like that the road would end very, very quickly in that regard. So they've pivoted at a range of different times into different formulas, into different genres, and leveraging popular franchises to just change the pace. I think it worked really, really well.
Yeah, no,
I'm all for it.
I completely agree. And so the one thing I touched upon this a moment ago, but the soundtrack to this game I found really, really compelling.
Yeah.
There was the particularly being like that kind of, as I mentioned, the Luke speed Super Star Wars Luke speeder doohickey had this really catchy sort of like. From the memories, it's kind of like a synthy sort of feel. There's an incredible bass line to it. So even though I died quite frequently because it was very much about remembering particular patterns in order to get through it, because you have one go at it, and if you don't, you're out.
So yeah,
you had your couple lives, and I just kept getting like nicking the slightest of ship, I'm out. But I had no issue because I just constantly enjoyed the music. But we're sitting here talking about like its difficulty and some of the, you know, the challenges that we had at later levels. To the game's credit, it does start relatively simple and gets you involved, so much so that my 8-year-old was able to sit and play, you know, the first like 10 or so levels and be okay with it. Like, it had such a good and strong learning curve that it didn't just throw you in the deep end initially. Like, it feeds you and then gets a little bit difficult and a little bit more difficult. And next thing you know, as we said, you're, you know, handling multiple balls with multiple paddles. My son was able to sort of pick it up really quickly and sort of understand that. And for him, he thoroughly enjoyed being able to control the bouncer. That was sort of his big thing.
Yeah. And I did see the photo when you said of your little guy jumping into it, and it looked like it looked like it was pretty early days. You kind of clarified that a little bit further there, but
yeah, because like I started again for him because he just saw the Pac-Man levels. Like, Daddy, this is Pac-Man. Like, well, it's not Pac-Man, bud, but
but it might feel like it. And like again, going back to those, a massive credit to Barry and the team that those games like feel the part.
Yeah,
when you're playing them, so. I'm all about that, but yeah, it's quite accessible, especially early on. And honestly, I would say it's relatively accessible the whole way through. It's only that if you're chasing those bonus objectives with every mission where you kind of artificially increase the difficulty.
Which I certainly was not.
Yeah.
I think on my first run. Like, if I happened to get it by accident, I'd be like, sick. But
If I was close, I'd repeat a few.
Yeah.
If I was close, I'd repeat a few of those levels for sure. And I think I probably finished the PS4 version with 30 out of 40 levels with the bonus objective, or
the bonus objective
somewhere similar sort of thing to the S rank. I think they're the same, but it's the way that they're linked to the trophies, which is different.
Because I have been playing primarily the PS5 version, just because that was the first one I downloaded. I remember there being a difference in the trophies, but I just didn't think too much about it.
Every bonus mission on the PS4 version, every bonus mission that you complete triggers a trophy, which is not the case for the PS5 version. There's a range of other challenges and such.
Yeah, there was a couple like, finish this level on hard. I'm like, I barely finished this level on normal.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not even ready to go down the hard pathway yet. I'd rather try and get all my PS4 trophies, as many as I can anyway, before I look at hard. And I still ultimately need to rewire my brain so I can get the bouncer going left when I want it to go left at the moment, because I just, holy shit, I won't keep going. I just can't get there's something not firing in my head, mate.
Well, speaking
old
of
age is kicking in.
Well, speaking of just not wanting to go on forever, let's head into it. I think we've kind of hit all the major beats. So, yep. Padge, what are your final thoughts on Try and Breaker, A Sacred Symbols Odyssey?
Well, I mean, you're talking about not going on forever. The game's, you know, 3 to 4 hours long.
Yeah,
doesn't outstay its welcome. Gives you plenty of cool things to mess around with and explore and try out. The challenges are there. I love that you can jump into the menus and go and change the music whenever you want as well. So set the vibe that you want. There's so many cool things that this game does despite its simplicity, and I love that. So, and then again, and this is now going back to our disclosure again, if you're that fan of all things sacred symbols, then you're going to have an even greater appreciation for what this game is and what this game is doing. But setting that aside, taking the story for what it is, taking the gameplay mechanics for what they are, this game ticks so many boxes. It's a fantastic title.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. If you were to separate your individual connection to the brand itself, whether it be that being the Sacred Symbols brand, I think you'd get a lot more enjoyment out of Tribreaker than you would Twinbreaker. With the additions that they've put here, as you discussed, the change of the themes and the level structure, even something as simple as the total art, like the larger art design, with the original being quite simple, sort of by design, and I guess probably resource availability. We're here, they've got, it's almost like they went from 8-bit
to 16 to SNES, or, yeah.
You know what I mean? It kind of feels like there was like that little flick, and then it went from that, you know, 8-bit to 16-bit, or as an example. May not be exactly that, but you get my point.
Yeah, and to be fair, that kind of began more recently with Super Perils of Baking, the previous game that came out beforehand, where that was itself kind of a remastering. I don't know, it was Super Mario All-Stars kind of take really on like the original one, where all the visuals have been kind of overhauled despite the fact that the game was the same. They kind of got that ball rolling there, and have just continued to march on with this, I guess, greater emphasis on the art. But it looks great, to your point.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, yeah, as you say, like whether you, as I mentioned, like whether you're someone that experienced these style of games from that time, from your youth, or you're experiencing it, you know, by proxy, I guess, like I did feel like a good warmth and nostalgia for this. And I could certainly feel the love for that style of game come through. As well, whether it be how the story is holding it together and how it transitions through the themes, you know, very, what I found was quite seamlessly. It wasn't like, and here's the Frogger level, and here's the Ekit. It all kind of came together with the story. But you can also kind of see the influence and the love within, say, Barry as part of the development team and any other individuals that assisted him to get there. But, yeah, I'm not sure whether you reviewed Twinbreaker at the time.
I did.
Do you remember
what
you gave it?
I gave it a B, so it's like a 7.5.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So like, I would probably put it around that same space, but comparatively, Tribreaker is that next bump up. Like to me, this is like an 8.5, possibly even a 9. And I don't normally, like, for what we do in the show that we run, we don't normally rate things. It's more of a discussion piece alongside the Self Pad. We've got you guys do it, Player Two. And I would put up there because the only things that I have issue with while playing this is like the difficulty spikes, quote unquote. And that is something that you just get better at by playing it. So it's not a hindrance within the game itself. The game is forgiving enough with its multiple lives, the ability to buy more lives just by playing the game. So, and it doesn't never send you back to the start. It just goes, hey, start the level again. Like it is forgiving. It's repeatable. It's enjoyable. I really, really enjoyed it. Really, really enjoyed it.
So, I mean, it ticks a lot of boxes. And as you mentioned there, it prompts you to kind of learn the game and kind of work it out, but it's not this gigantic barrier. It is the Dark Souls of Brick Breakers.
Put that on a box, you know?
I'm sure if Colin and the team are checking that out, I'm sure Colin just winced a little at that comment. And I apologize, Colin.
But yeah, that's kind of it. Look, if this is a style of game that intrigues you, it is available now-ish, I think, or in the next couple of days.
Yeah, this week.
Time of recording. It's out this week. He said it's a short-lived experience in a good way. You know, by the nature of what you and I do, Padge, the amount of games we play at various times, the idea we can just play something for a couple of hours and it's short, sharp, sweet, and it's still really enjoyable. Absolute big win for me.
And again, I think if they tried to push it much further, you know, you would have stretched the ideas a little bit too thin, and it really would have started to hold the experience back. So I think the balance is just right in that regard as well.
Completely agree. But let us know what you think of Tribreaker in the comments below, or are you excited for it? Leave us what you thought of Twinbreaker. But let's wrap this bad boy up. I'll go first, Patch, because this is going across both platforms. We can wrap it up with yourselves. So if you've enjoyed what we've had to say here, you can hear myself and my co-host Max every Monday morning on our weekly PlayStation podcast called For the Players, the Pop Culturist PlayStation podcast. It's like the late show. It's a late night show of Australian of a PlayStation podcast where you've got two dudes, stack of personality. It's a little bit dumb. It's a little bit stupid, but it's backed up by two individuals with the better part of 10 years in the games media and God knows how many years playing PlayStation. And you can find me on Twitter with the handle is there. There it is. Bam. Paz, your turn.
And on the Player 2 side, make sure to check out the website, player2.net.au. As I alluded to before, the review of Tribreaker is up on the website there. So go check that one out. Heaping praise on it. It's a fantastic title. Go check it out. The YouTube channel, if you're on the Pop C side and you're checking it out, then you're in. Yeah, jump across to the Player 2 YouTube channel as well. Subscribe there. We've got Patched as the podcast coming out weekly. We've got review discussions like this when they pop up. We'll have some Let's Plays. We've got lots of shorts about, well, they're still coming out from games from PAX recently. Lots and lots of stuff that's popping up there all the time. Go check that out as well. And then on the socials, just like yourself, right there above my head, Paul James Games, and the website is
Player2AU. Actually, I'm pretty sure it's Max. It does say it's Max's handle right now.
On my version, I got it correct, so you can fix that.
I will shamelessly correct that.
That's all right. We'll just like fix it only now, yep. Like at the very end, just fix it.
Flick.
That's
there right. It is. Yeah. There you go. Oh, yeah. What an impressive change, Ryan. Well done. You're so good at this. But until next time, I'm Ryan Betson.
And I'm Paul James.
And that was Tribreaker, a Sacred Symbol Odyssey.